From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Our speaker is Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Recently, Dr. Cairns began a series of studies in the life of Abraham. Genesis chapter 13, verses 5 through 18, relates the account of Abraham and his nephew Lot separating because of the abundance of their flocks, which caused strife among their herdsmen. Lot's tragic mistake was thinking that he could live his life without having God at the center. The result was disastrous. In complete contrast, Abraham chose a path that didn't appear very attractive, yet it was the path that led him to Mamre, the place of God's altar. Abraham lived his life in the light of God's promise. He was more concerned to protect the testimony of his God than he was to increase his substance in this world. Here is an important lesson for all of God's people. Every decision must be made in accord with our faith in Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will continue the theme of You Take the High Road and I'll Take the Low Road. First, we invite your attention to a devotional thought from Faith's Checkbook, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled A Heavenly Escort. The text is found in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 15. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest. Do we need journeying mercies? Here are choice ones, God's presence and preservation. In all places we need both of these, and in all places we shall have them if we go at the call of duty, and not merely according to our own fancy. Why should we look upon removal to another country as a sorrowful necessity when it is laid upon us by the divine will? In all lands the believer is equally a pilgrim and a stranger, and yet in every region the Lord is his dwelling place, even as he has been to his saints in all generations. We may miss the protection of an earthly monarch, but when God says, I will keep thee, we are in no real danger. This is a blessed passport for a traveler and a heavenly escort for an emigrant. Jacob had never left his father's room before. He had been a mother's boy and not an adventurer like his brother. Yet he went abroad, and God went with him. He had little luggage and no attendants, yet no prince ever journeyed with a nobler bodyguard. Even while he slept in the open field, angels watched over him, and the Lord God spoke to him. If the Lord bids us go, let us say with our Lord Jesus, Arise, let us go hence.
Make me pure without remorse.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We'd like to say that we're greatly encouraged by the response of you, our listeners, to these broadcasts. We appreciate the letters, emails, and phone calls we've received from so many of you, some wanting to say thank you and telling us how much the Lord has blessed your heart through His Word, some speaking of life-changing experiences found through the preaching of the gospel. Some have written to ask for the literature that we offer here on the program. We want to remind you of the LTBS Audio Magazine. This is available in CD format only and is similar in content to the LTBS Quarterly Magazine, containing articles of great spiritual interest as well as sacred music that will point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You may have a free copy of LTBS Audio Magazine simply by writing to LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the broadcast, you may like to visit us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. In this connection, we'd like to call your attention to a new feature on the website. During recent months, Dr. Cairns has been receiving questions from both believers and non-believers regarding various issues. The LTBS radio website now contains video clips of Dr. Cairns providing answers to these and many other questions. He'll be dealing with such subjects as, did God create evil? What does it mean to call no man father? What is the unpardonable sin? Does Hebrews teach that Christians can lose their salvation? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You are sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
Abraham had a promise, and God is saying, Abraham, in this promise, there is a fullness that passes comprehension. It's the fullness of the love of God in Christ. It's the fullness of the provision of grace in Jesus Christ. It is the fullness of all that God has thought and done from eternity through time. It's that fullness that God has for you. Now look at it. Let it sink into your heart. Let it penetrate your thinking. Let it govern everything about you from this point onward. Abraham received the promise, believed it, and lived in the light of it. When the Lord gives us the promise of the gospel, He tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, that His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And in the very next verse, He tells us that in His knowledge, or the knowledge He gives us in Jesus Christ, He gives us also exceeding great and precious promises. What promises are these? The promises that God has led before us, covering every detail of life, of death, and of eternity. God says, in effect, you've been to Bethel. From Bethel, take the high road of trust in the promises of God. Let them govern your thinking, and you'll think right, and you'll live right. Let me show you how it worked out in the life of Abraham. As Abraham and Lot stood there that day, deciding who would have the best part of the land, Abraham could have said, "Hold on, young fella. First of all, I'm your superior in station and in age. Hold on, young fella, because you came here with me, not I with you." He could well have said, "Just wait a minute, Lot. It is my right." And he would have been absolutely correct in saying that. It is my right to have what I want, and if I will be kind enough to you, you can have what's left over. But he didn't do that. In fact, he turned it right around and he said, "Lot, take what you want." Because there was something in Abraham's mind that was much greater than his rights. And that was what was right in the sight of God. And when the promise of the gospel has filled your heart and gripped your soul, you can take what is right in the sight of God and you can place it ahead of your own personal, selfish assertion of rights. You know what is killing America today? Is that every Tom, Dick, and Harry is standing up crowing for his rights, whether they're rights or whether they're not rights. I'm sure some of you read what I read in the press just, I think, yesterday. You have a crazy father and mother in California dragging their 8-year-old daughter through the courts. And they're suing those who run the national spelling bee because she got a word she couldn't spell. And that's not fair. My right is to win this. You see it in churches. I'm standing up for my rights. It's about time, especially in the church, that we learned not to be standing up for our rights, but to be standing up for what is right in the sight of God. And you can only do that when the promise of the gospel has gripped your heart as it gripped this man's heart. Furthermore, when you've got the promise of the gospel in your heart, as Abraham had, and it governs your thinking, then you will have a greater interest in the Lord's testimony before the world than you will have in your own interests. We read in verse 7, you may wonder, why is this in the text at all? we read that there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and those of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. It's a strange place for that to be in, isn't it? It looks to be absolutely and completely out of its proper place. And no doubt if you looked among scholarly works far enough, you would find some idiotic scholar would have this as something disjointed and lifted from somewhere else and dropped in here by a mistaken editor. But there's no editor and there's no mistake. It's in there for very good reason. You may draw a couple of things from it. First of all, very often when God's people take to squabbling, when carnality, such as in the case of Lot, brings dissension and strife into the body of Christ, there are forces out there that are just ready to take advantage of it. There are Canaanites and there are Perizzites in the land. There are heathen forces that are just ready to jump at the opportunity that is all too facilely given to them by the needless folly and carnality of so many Christians and so many churches. But the greater lesson you may draw from it is this. Abraham saw them. Lot wasn't in the slightest bit concerned about the Canaanites and the Perizzites. He proved that as he went down to live among the men of Sodom. He wasn't in the slightest bit concerned about them. He wasn't concerned what effect his behavior was going to have on them. I don't think that it was unknown, for example, that these people had come from Ur of the Chaldees. I doubt that it could possibly have been hidden for very long that Abraham had come at the command of God and Lot with him. And yet that testimony, which should have been guarded jealously, was something that Lot was not worried about. But Abraham was deeply concerned about it, and he would rather lose the best pasturage. He would rather see his cattle die. He would rather see his own wealth diminish than to see the testimony of his God dragged in the gutter before the world. Oh, that's what happens, you see, when the gospel gets into your heart. Changes the whole way you look at things. Paul said that when he was in Christ and everything was new, he said he would go so far as to refuse to know any man after the flesh. He said, from this point on, I refuse to look at people through worldly eyes. I refuse to judge people by worldly standards. I refuse to divorce my opinion of things and people, events and movements from the gospel. I judge everything from this central truth of the gospel that I believe in. Oh, that we would get back to that. That's what gave Abraham his great view of life. And that's what led him to take the road through life that he did. Note him first as a believer before the promise of God. Think of the altar. I have pointed out that Abraham is preeminently among the patriarchs the man of the altar. Watch as you read his life story, how he builds altars, and you find him constantly at the altar before the Lord, and this marks him as a worshiper. In other words, here was a man who, having received the promise of the gospel, lived his life in constant sight and in constant experience of the atoning sacrifice. Here was a man who, on the basis of this atoning sacrifice, lived in constant fellowship with God. As Abraham came to the altar, he knew that here is the foundation of all my blessings. As he stood there worshiping God, his heart and soul were filled with this, that I must view everything, not only in the light of the promise, but in the light of the altar and the blood atonement, the sacrifice there made for me. We have passed through many, many centuries since then. If you take it in round figures, Abraham living around 2,000 years before Christ, and we living 2,000 years after Christ. So we have passed through many centuries since then. The world has changed in many ways. The kind of world Abraham lived in would be like Mars to most of us. And the kind of world we live in, I think, would be like hell on earth to a man like Abraham. He would detest this. This would be his idea, surely, of something God forsaken and God cursed. And very different. But oh, let me tell you, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Because the decisions that Abraham had to face, they're exactly the same decisions you and I have to face. Oh, the trappings of life have changed. Those who are in the social sciences talk about modernity. That's their jargon for the technological age and the consumer society. And they've even now got to the post-modernity, though I haven't seen much evidence of it being post. I think it's more technological and more consumer than ever before, but that's beside the point. The trappings have changed. But if you were to go from American society tonight into the most primitive part of Africa, you know something? You're going to find that underneath the external veneer, men and women are facing the very same fundamental decisions for life and death and time and eternity. And that means that how Abraham lived his life and how he took the king's high road through life tells us the very way that we have got to live. We make a great mistake when we fall into the reasoning of the liberal and the modernist and the various forms of radical Bible criticism, when we make our surroundings, the environment, the culture in which we live. I'm sick, sore and tired hearing evangelicals talk about the culture in which we live, as if that were the determining force in how we live. Now we must relate to the society around us. We must relate to the people to whom we have got to bear witness. But I want to tell you, how we live in the 20th and 21st centuries is not dictated by the culture of the society in which we live. It's dictated by the timeless truths of this book of God. And how Abraham lived is exactly how we have got to live. Look at him at the altar, facing life with its decisions. How did he come to his conclusions? How did he make his decisions? I think there were some questions in his mind. How does this accord with my faith? How does this accord with the message of this altar at which I am worshiping? How does this affect my fellowship with God? Those are the fundamental questions that every professing Christian needs to be asking and by which he needs to be making his decisions.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.